Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Be a part of the show each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind each and every day. And of course, you know you can give us a buzz right here at the station. Call 517-355-9527. Well, woo, man, it's back to business after the July 4th holiday weekend. Wow, was it a good time for me. I actually went down to Detroit this weekend to see my fam and friends. A hotel right off the Detroit River. I wish the weather was a little bit, you know, better than it was. A lot of rain. But it was relaxing nonetheless. Even popped some fireworks with my little sister. And, of course, we had tons of barbecue, which I'm still recovering from right now. I think I need to go run like 10 miles to work off all the ribs and the chicken. But I hope you guys have had a good one. I trust that you all were safe. So let's dig right back into the show. As I stated a minute ago, we have tons to get to as far as recapping you on all of the sporting world news, as tons of news occurred over the weekend. But before we do that, we invite a special guest to Current Sports. As always, all of our guests are special. Diamond Leung of MLive. He's going to give us the lowdown when it comes to Michigan State football and basketball and how they're looking for the upcoming season. Now, Diamond has been with MLive for a little over a year now and previously covered college basketball for ESPN.com and covered the Los Angeles Dodgers beat for the Press Enterprise. That's out in Riverside, California. Diamond, welcome to Current Sports.
Thanks, Al, for having me. How are you doing today?
Hey, pretty good, man. Truly a pleasure. First off, Diamond, how was your July 4th? What'd you do, bud?
You know, I was actually, oddly enough, in Canada. I was covering the Tigers playing at the Blue Jays. And, you know, so it was interesting to get a little back on the baseball side a little bit and then
right.
see a little bit of the team. So it was interesting because no one was really celebrating over there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not a holiday over there, of course. I swear, you are a man. You never stop working, Diamond. That's great, man. So before I begin, I got to ask you now. Are you born and raised in Cali?
Yeah, born and raised in San Francisco.
In San Francisco. Why in the world did you come to Michigan after being in beautiful California?
You know, out here it offered me a really good chance to cover a beat in Michigan State. Obviously, the fans are really passionate about their team here. And, you know, just to get back on a beat, you know, I previously covered the Dodgers, like you mentioned. And, you know, it's always been, you know, that setting where I felt most comfortable in.
Very, very true. Now, comparing Michigan to California, what do you think is the biggest difference that you see through your eyes as far as sports are concerned?
Well, aside from the weather, I guess, if you just talk about sports, I mean, obviously it's a really, really big sports state,
right.
You know, all the way around, all the teams, maybe outside the Pistons who aren't doing so well, you know, get a lot of support. And they do in California as well. It's just more that California, I think there's a lot of other things going on as well. You know, a lot of other entertainment options.
Mm-hmm.
Sports isn't kind of that live or die thing at times out here. Whereas, you know, here in Michigan, I think the fans are really in tune with what's going on. It really, really makes it a fun atmosphere for everybody involved, including journalists who, you know, cover the team every day.
Oh, without a doubt. Now, I was telling a buddy of mine over the weekend, I mean, when you compare Michigan to other states in the nation, I mean, you got a team like the Tigers, the Red Wings are good every season, the Lions, then colleges. You got Michigan State and Michigan, which are well-known throughout the entire world. I mean, Michigan is definitely a gem, I tell you that, compared to other states in the nation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and, you know, the way the readers react to every nugget of information, it keeps, you know, journalists energized as well. You know,
right.
It seems like, you know, the demand for that information is out there.
Oh, without a doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Diamond Leung from MLive. He is MLive sports reporter over there. Previously, of course, he's worked for ESPN.com and covered the Los Angeles Dodgers beat for the Press Enterprise. So, Diamond, how was it working for ESPN, and why did you make the change from ESPN to MLive?
Well, I think ESPN, I was doing more of kind of the national college basketball on the blogging side. I was, not so much maybe going out to many events. I was based out in San Francisco, and I guess you weren't really offered the opportunity to maybe cover one specific team.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of do kind of a nationwide thing and make sure everybody knows what the big topic of the day is going on. But really, I think where I excel in is kind of helping readers to maybe understand a specific theme and really getting into the personalities, really helping people understand the way the teams are structured and all the human interest stories that go along with it. And I think it's been fun for me, developing that at Michigan State, whether it's been on the basketball beat or on the football beat, and getting to know everybody and really just kind of helping everybody understand the team a little better, beyond from what you see on the field and on your television screen.
Right. And when it comes to this conversation, as far as you're concerned, when covering a beat, you get more personable with the team. You get to know these players, you get to know the coaches. But with ESPN, when you were covering college basketball, you were covering just everything, right? So you didn't have any time to really develop those relationships.
Yeah, at ESPN, it was really kind of, here's 300 some odd, Division I college basketball teams, and you tell the reader what they should be paying attention to that particular day. You still, obviously, based on the West Coast, get a chance to meet a lot of the coaches that come through that area and, shake some hands and really develop sources in that way. But a lot of times you'd be doing, feature stories maybe over the phone and you kind of lack that personal interaction. Well, here in Michigan State, you get a lot more face-to-face, directly after practice kind of availability. And I think that helps stories improve and that helps, obviously the reader as well.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so now let's dig into some Michigan State basketball diamond. You actually reported this today for MLive about, Adrian Payne over at the World University Games. He's played in the United States' first two USA World University Games against Czech Republic and the United Arab Emirates. Now, he returned to the starting lineup against Czech Republic, but against the United Arab team, he played the fewest of anyone on the team, collecting only 2 minutes. What's your assessment of Payne so far, and why isn't he playing as much as people were expecting so far?
Yeah, that was interesting to see that stat line. I checked over with the USA Basketball, and they told me it was simply a coach's decision. I think the coach of the team, who's Bob McKillop, he said after today's game that they're playing on back-to-back days, and they're looking to rest certain players so that the team will be energized in the future. But I think you have to look at also that, Adrian's gotten in some foul trouble. He could be, maybe having some problems kind of adjusting on that international level where, sometimes, the rules are slightly different and fouls might be called differently. But really, outside of it being a coach's decision, we really don't know. It's kind of a curious decision to see, future, NBA guy with that size and, not getting off the bench as much. But I think, you'll probably see him improve as the tournament goes along. And, apparently he's healthy as well, which is what USA Basketball told me. So, I think it's a good experience for Adrian to get a different style of coaching that will maybe supplement what he already has with coaches on his program and just to see basketball in a different way. I think he's adjusting, at that level right now.
Right. Now, Diamond, do you when you were talking with Coach McKillop, does he expect those minutes to go up as the tournament moves on?
I mean, it's hard to say. All we have here from this continent, being that the games are playing in Russia, is kind of read off the quote sheets here that are provided. But I think, you've seen him in the starting lineup in the two exhibition games leading up to this. He was coming off the bench in that game where he played 2 minutes, and now he's back in the starting lineup. So I think, as he adjusts and as he gets used to staying out of foul trouble, you'll see him play more and more.
That's definitely a good sign that he has returned to that starting lineup. So when you look at Adrian Payne's, let's just go back to last season. Of course, going to these games, and I'm looking at Adrian Payne, and he was a phenom, especially during the later part of the season when he really started to come on. And, of course, there were talks about him possibly taking his talents to the NBA, which he didn't, and decided to return to MSU for his senior season. Looking at that entire storyline, Diamond, do you think Payne should have made the leap after that season?
Well, shoulda, coulda, I guess, is ultimately not my life, I guess.
Right.
It's hard
to,
I guess, make a judgment on it. I think, he was, obviously he saw the possibility where he's in the first round, possibly in the second round. It's really, I guess, hard to say from that standpoint. I think, you know, it did, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of players who have those opportunities, they generally maybe, you know, take them when they have them, obviously knowing that next year is going to be a loaded draft as well. So obviously something really, really motivated him to come back. And, you know, you have to look, you know, at that national championship consideration. You also have to look at, you know, he talks about promising his late grandmother that yeah. he would finish at Michigan State with a degree. And I think coming back allows him to do both those things. It would have been very easy. And I think for a while he was on the fence and possibly leaning toward, you know, leaving for the draft. But ultimately, there were strong considerations that ultimately brought him back.
Definitely. And if you look at, you know, some of the players from other teams in the Big Ten, which was arguably, well, I think, in my opinion, was the best conference of college basketball last season. And looking at a lot of players who left from those opposing teams, you look at Indiana with Oladipo and Zeller leaving, I can go on and on and on. And, you know, MSU really retaining a lot of their big-time star players. They could really make some noise. And, you know, knock on wood, if he stays healthy, I think Adrian Payne will be all right. I tell you that.
Right. I mean, it's never an easy decision. You know, it's one that, you know, you can kind of, you know, play Monday morning quarterback about. But mm-hmm. it's impossible to know where you're going to go. You look at a guy like Deshaun Thomas from Ohio State.
Yeah.
Leave school early. Where did he go? You know,
right.
He was nowhere found in the first round. So, it's never a sure thing, and I think you know, Coach Izzo rightly challenged you know, Adrian Payne and saying that, well, I mean, if you're not going to come back here your senior year and work just as hard as you did last year, you know, just put your name in the draft.
Right.
And I think, you know, that was went a long way, and maybe kind of putting those things in his head where, hey, you can improve in the draft, and you can you know, get better during your senior season. It's not all that bad to come back and finish out your career in this manner.
Very, very true. Ladies and gents, we're talking with Diamond Leung. He's been with MLive for a little over a year now, about a year and some change, and previously covered college basketball for ESPN.com and covered the LA Dodgers beat for the Press Enterprise. So, Diamond, when you look at the next year's MSU basketball team, and you look at the competition, like I mentioned, with this is kind of dwindled, quote unquote, if you will, with, you know, a lot of star players leaving from the Big Ten Conference to make that move to the NBA, especially when you look at Trey Burke as well, point guard from Michigan who's left now. A lot of people have Michigan State up there as the number two or even the top team in the nation in the preseason rankings. How do you rank this year's team coming in two, just looking at it on paper right now?
I think they're top five on paper.
Yeah.
You look at, you know, going to the Sweet 16 last year and having really the entire team back, save for Derek Nix. You know, I think they're going to have to adjust their offense a little bit, just losing such a big post presence with Nix. But I think they're expecting a lot of big things from Matt Costello, you know, to replace Nix in that position. You know, obviously you have Gary Harris coming back along with Payne, and really the team, the one thing that really helped the team last year was the chemistry that it developed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have already that chemistry established, plus you're bringing all these guys back with 1 year more experience, with maybe a little more leadership qualities developed, I think you're looking at, you know, definitely a top five team.
Definitely, definitely. Now, let's move on to Michigan State football, Diamond. Right now, of course, Michigan State football right around the corner. Football season, I can smell it right now. August is definitely close. Right now, little birdies are flying around telling me that it looks as though Andrew Maxwell will be the starting quarterback for this upcoming season. Do you echo that?
I think that's going to happen at the start of the season, mm-hmm. just from listening to what Mark D'Antonio has had to say in recent comments. I think that, you know, Maxwell is definitely the strong front runner, unless, you know, something in camp in August, you know, were to happen that would drastically change the situation. I think obviously, you know, when you bring in a quarterback like Damian Terry, who can offer, who's a freshman, who can offer kind of a different style of play, a dual threat, maybe, you know, maybe he jumps in the mix, maybe he redshirts. It's hard to say at this point until we get to see some camp. But I think right now, Maxwell does appear, from all the statements that have been put out there, does appear to be the guy, unless something were to change.
Right, right. Now, this year's football team is certainly losing a lot with, of course, on the offensive end, with Le'Veon Bell, running back last season, leaving now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. As far as running backs concerned, looks as though freshman Riley Bullitt has been making some noise, and Nick Hill. Looks like they are going to take the blunt of those snaps. So what is your impression of them right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Riley did a pretty good job, you know, switching over from linebacker and immediately, you know, maybe making an impact in those first few practices. But we have to keep in mind also that those are just a few practices that mm-hmm. he's had. And obviously he's getting a lot more work at that position, providing some maybe bulk in that running back role. But I think, you know, ultimately it's going to be a pretty wide-open competition. You're going to see Riley there. You're going to see Nikhil, like you mentioned. You know, you can't forget like a Jeremy Langford and also a redshirt freshman, Nick Tompkins. They're bringing in three incoming freshmen as well. I think Gerald Holmes is the one who's maybe most likely to see some carries just because he's kind of a big back. And also you have speed backs and Delton Williams and R.J. Shelton. So I think, you know, they're going to roll him out, you know, in August and see what comes from it. But right. it's definitely an interesting race, especially losing all those carries that Le'Veon Bell had for them last season.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, Diamond, I tell you what, I'm looking for you. We'll definitely see each other at the games, countless games and games and games. Look forward to it, man. I was telling my my production assistant before this segment started. I'm like, man, I mean, this is the time of sports where it's really idle. I mean, now you have nothing to watch except baseball. Now, you know, I'm itching, man. I'm ready.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're rarely idle here at M Live, but right. you know, even if it means you know, watching some baseball while doing some MSU work, you know, we'll be all over it. But yeah, look forward to seeing you soon as well.
Definitely. Well, there you have it, Diamond Leung. Diamond has been with M Live for a little over a year now. Previously covered college basketball for ESPN.com and covered the LA Dodgers beat for the Press Enterprise in Riverside, California. Diamond, thanks so much, and look forward to talking to you more, man.
Thanks, Al. Look forward to it.
All right. Well, when we return to current sports, we'll dive into our current sports section of the show. We'll be taking your calls at 140. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. Want to hear what's on your mind. Lots to cover. A lot of things happened over this weekend. We'll recap it for you. Stay tuned. More current sports is next.
I'm Robin Young. Coming up here and now, we'll have the latest from Egypt. Also, a Buddhist monk confronts the culture of suicide in Japan.
He started informally counseling people who were depressed, and he found he was good at it. And so he decided to make helping the suicidal his mission.
Next time, here and now, from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the latest sporting news concerning you guys of Mid-Michigan. We want to remind you all that we would take... You know what? We're not going to tell you calls at 140. If you want to call right now and talk about anything that's on your mind, we will take your calls right now at 517-355-9527. We're going to open the lines a little early for you guys to chat about anything that's on your mind. I am now joined by my production assistant, Matt Lutke, and we are going to run down every... First of all, man, how was your 4th of July weekend? Did you do anything special, man?
You know, I went to the west side of the state, spent a little time in Kalamazoo, a little time in Grand Rapids, you know, a little tour of Michigan, so yeah.
Nice, you were everywhere.
Fun. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
East state barbecue. Traveler.
Eat some barbecue, man.
I did eat a little barbecue.
Good stuff, man. I you know what? I've come to the realization. I think I'm gonna try the cutting out red meat thing.
Really?
I'm gonna try it. It's a challenge for me because I love red meat. I love ribs and ribs. I love ribs.
I was just gonna say. Yeah, I don't steak. Think I could do it. I think I'd make it maybe half a week and then I'd be like, you know.
Yeah. It's tough, man. I eat too much junk food. I'm going to try this health tip thing. But all right, let's dive into today's sports. Josh Smith, of course, if you've been following the whole Detroit Pistons signee of Josh, he was signed this weekend to a four-year, $56 million contract with the Detroit Pistons. Josh has spent his entire nine-year career so far with the Atlanta Hawks, drafted in the first round with the number 17 pick of the 2004 NBA draft. That's the same year that the Pistons won the NBA championship. Now, the Pistons let it be known right at 12:01 a.m. last week, Monday. Of course, that's when free agency opened up, that they were pretty serious about signing Smith, meeting with him right then and there. The meeting reportedly lasted for 5 hours. Oh, my good, 5 hours. That's
what do you talk about for 5 hours?
I know, right? Especially at 12:01 in the morning, from 12:01 to 5 in the morning. My goodness, man. So it lasted 5 hours with, Pistons president of basketball operations, Joe Dumars. Dumars has said that the team intends to become more athletic this offseason and will feature players capable of defending more than one position. Now, the career averages for Smith, 15.3 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and 1.3 steals, and became the youngest player, actually, in 2010 to reach 1,000 blocks. He's 6'9", 225, small forward position, came straight out of high. And it's funny, we brought up this this conversation the other day about should, you know, players make that leap from high school to NBA. He was one of those guys that made that leap and has been, pretty successful, I would say.
He's had a fruitful career.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, there are many out there who do criticize Smith in the past because he has had a bad rep for being kind of difficult to coach and reportedly clashed with former Hawks coach Mike Woodson, who is also a former Pistons assistant and now coaches the New York Knicks. So, which is a good move. Did you like this move, man?
You know, I am firmly on the fence. I think defensively, we definitely improve. We have someone who can, you know, we can set up to guard a Durant or a LeBron. We at least have someone now, back like, you know, when Tayshaun Prince was the stopper. We actually have somebody, again, in Smith. But offensively, I don't know how it's going to work, especially if we want him to play at the small forward position with Monroe and Drummond, just because there's too many guys near the hoop, and Josh Smith is a pretty terrible shooter. Pretty much anything you read this weekend about the signing is saying, wow, they are going to be tough to watch offensively because he loves shooting jump shots, but he is terrible at them.
Right.
And if
right.
you have, you know, pair that with Rodney Stuckey and you have four guys who cannot shoot the ball on the floor at once. So I hope, you know, we definitely got an identity, and that's going to be defense and rebounding because there's going to be a lot of missed shots. Hopefully Drummond will be there to gobble them up.
That's why I'm hoping that, you know, Pope, if you look at him, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, that's who the Pistons took in the first round of the draft with the 8th pick. He's a shooter, and hopefully his hot shooting can continue at the next level. He was a 70% shooter at during one stint of his senior this last season. And hopefully, like you said, the Pistons offensively, I think they, other than Drummond and Monroe down low, who I think are very consistent down there, as far as shooting goes, other than Pope, it's like who you have, you know?
Exactly.
So it's going to be kind of, it will be kind of difficult to watch, especially with Smith, who is not a great shooter. And it's so funny, you know, when I'm reading about Josh Smith in local newspapers in the Detroit area, they're praising him. It's optimism to the 100th power.
Well, you have to understand, for a Detroit writer, Josh Smith to the Pistons, that's like salvation.
Exactly.
That, you know, we have a star.
Finally, we have somebody. Yeah, exactly. And you know, if you look at other media outlets like on ESPN and, you know, Yahoo, they're bashing Smith. Like, what the heck are the Pistons thinking about? So it's such an interesting dynamic when you look at this move. But like you said, right now, that's a move that I definitely think is, especially with Mo Cheeks, a coach whose name has been echoed as far as the coaching realm of the NBA goes, but as a player as well. And I think that'll, from a financial standpoint and putting butts in the seat, this was a decent move, I think.
Right. It was, I mean, it was the best move they could have made, probably.
Right.
You know, I don't know who else they were going to try and swoon. And, you know, the thing is, he does have problems with shot selection. Like, the numbers, they don't lie. He took 80 more long two-pointers than he did three-pointers last year. And long twos are the worst shot you can take.
You might as well take a three.
You know, he shot, 60% near the rim. Above 60% near the rim, 30% everywhere else. And, 50% of his shots were outside of 9 feet. So it's like, anytime he's not, you know, making a play at the rim or in transition or anything, he's an average offensive player.
Exactly.
But if he's playing the three, we're going to need him to take those shots.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll see if how he transitions in that role. Because like you said, as far as the paint goes, guys like Drummond and Monroe, I mean, those two guys, when they're playing together, I think they could be, I've said this before, they could be definitely a huge offensive weapon. And when you talk about Josh Smith, offensively, he's great in transition.
Mm-hmm.
Great in transition. But once you start getting him playing off a half-court offense, I mean, he hasn't proven that he can be that efficient. So we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. So the Detroit Pistons, they've also began to play in the NBA Summer League. They played the Brooklyn Nets yesterday. They actually beat them 76-67. New Nets head coach, of course, Jason Kidd. He got a technical foul. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that.
Got a technical. His first time coaching the game, he gets a technical. As timeouts were called throughout the first half, the flock of Nets beat writers that made the trip to Orlando noticed a common theme, though. It was Lawrence Frank is the past Piston coach before Mo Cheeks. He was the Piston coach last season, the season before that. But Lawrence Frank was the man drawing up the plays in the Nets huddle. And the beat writers were joking about that in countless articles. And that's pretty funny. The former Piston coach is coaching, is kind of in that driver's seat because Kid, I mean, this is a summer league game. He really is trying to get his feet wet coaching. And they're playing the Pistons. Lawrence Frank used to coach the Pistons a few months ago. And now he's sitting over there with Jason Kidd coaching against him. And I thought that was very interesting.
And I believe he also called a hack a Drummond on Andre Drummond.
I didn't know that.
And he got a playful point from Drummond. But, you know, that's that's the kind of stuff that the Summer League is all about.
That's fun stuff, man. Yeah. That's fun stuff. So, yeah, like I say, Kidd, you know, he got his first technical foul in his first game. And the announcers who were announcing the game, they believe that it's the first time a technical foul has ever been called in a head coach in a summer league game. So
I wouldn't be surprised. I didn't even know they were keeping track of technicals in the summer league. So, I mean,
exactly.
I don't think anybody outside of really diehard NBA fans even knows that the summer league exists.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
I
like follow it left to right because, like you said, I'm one of those diehard guys.
Right.
But for the average sports fan, they probably don't even know what the heck we're talking about.
Exactly.
Right now. So, yeah, interesting stuff. And the Kid, you know, Kid has kind of always been a laid-back type of guy. That's why I was really surprising. Maybe he sent a message to his team that he's not taking any crap because, like I said, in typical Kid fashion, probably the most boring way you can get teed up. He commented on a non-foul call. Kid stepped out of the coaching box and then added, Kid is already leaving his box. And then they gave him a tech for stepping out the box. So it's not like he was just going off on somebody. He just stepped out
right.
the coaching box.
And, you know, you see coaches do that all the time.
Right.
They're always outside the box. So maybe it's just the refs trying to lay down the law with Jason Kidd.
Maybe.
You know.
Send him a message or something.
Exactly.
Funny stuff. All right, Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard made it officially known that he will be leaving the Los Angeles Lakers on Friday and taking his talents to the Houston Rockets. He says, quote, he tweeted, quote, I have decided to become a member of the Houston Rockets. I feel it's the best place for me, and I'm excited about joining the Rockets, and I'm looking forward to a great season. I want to thank all the fans in L.A. and wish them the best. Now, Howard's deal with Houston is worth $88 million over 4 years. That's a lot of money, but if he had stayed with the Lakers, he could have made another $30 million and one more season. This guy is overpaid, if you ask me.
Well, you know,
that's a lot of money.
For the position he plays, he is the best in the business. But
probably,
but
yeah, true.
Goodness gracious, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot, man. And, a lot of people criticizing Dwight Howard just because of, you know, it seems as though the guy can never really get along with the team that he's playing with. One of his biggest critics are Shaquille O'Neal. He's one of those people at the Coke Zero 400, actually. Shaq told reporters, including USA Today Sports, Nate Ryan, he said that Shaq says, quote, it was expecting. We've all been in L.A. and not a whole lot of people can handle being under the bright lights. Everybody wants to do it. Then you get there. There are certain pressures. I think it was a safe move for him to go to a little town like Houston. That's right. Little town. I said it.
It's such classic Shaq. Anytime he can kind of assert his place above Dwight Howard on the NBA pecking order, he's going to take it, and just another instance.
And, you know, if you look at Shaq and Dwight, this all kind of started. I remember back in the day when Howard, you know, he got in the dunk contest, got the name Superman.
Superman,
after doing the Superman dunk. Shaq did not like that at all. And ever since then, there's been this kind of I don't like Dwight thing. I don't like Shaq type thing. Interesting stuff.
Right, because, you know, so. Shaq had a copyright on Superman.
Yeah.
You know, well,
exactly.
Come on, Shaq. I mean, that's, yeah. Oh, boy.
Funny stuff right there. But, I'm waiting for Dwight Howard, though. I mean, I think he can be so dominant if he just puts his head to it. You know what I mean? Like I said, as far as this is no longer a center-dominated league. This is a guard-driven league. It's a superstar-driven league, and most of those superstars are not centers. So when you talk about the center position, like you said, Matt, that Dwight Howard is the man as far as that position goes. And I'm just waiting for him to really just break out his shell. And, of course, he wasn't happy in L.A., though, with the whole Kobe Bryant thing. There was a lot of drama there, so it was best for him to leave.
I mean, it's L.A. When is there not drama?
Very
and maybe
true.
That's what Shaq's talking about. I mean, because, you know, every time they had a press conference, it was, you know, the first story everywhere.
Yes.
Because, you know, Kobe said something that Dwight didn't like, and then Dwight's feelings got hurt, and then rinse repeat for the entire season. I'm glad the soap opera is over.
I am too.
Let's put it behind us.
Let's start. Dwight, start playing some basketball, man.
Seriously.
Let's see it. All right, Adrian Payne. We talked with Diamond about this. Michigan State senior Adrian Payne. He returned to the starting lineup on Monday early this morning for Team USA's 96-53 win against Czech Republic in pool play action at the World University Games. Now Payne scored 7 points. Grabbed 6 rebounds while picking up 4 fouls in 9 minutes of play. Now, in Team USA's 140-46 win, they are just killing people right now. That was against the United Arab Emirates. Payne played by far the fewest of any American. He only collected 2 rebounds in just two minutes off the bench. So, now Payne has started and played 14 minutes in both Team USA's exhibition games in Kazan, Russia. Before the start of the tournament, the USA will play Sweden on Wednesday. So, it really surprised me. I thought, you know, Payne, even though he's now in the starting lineup now, but I thought he would get way more minutes than what, I mean, 2 minutes?
Yeah, that's
surprising.
It
man.
Is surprising, but, you
it's
know,
still early, though.
When they're winning by almost 100 points, it's like, you know, why risk it, I guess.
True that.
But,
that
you
is
know,
true.
They said he would struggle with fouls in the international game, and that kind of makes sense because he struggled with fouls when he was a young player here, you know, his freshman and sophomore seasons, and now he's definitely more consistent, and hopefully that'll, you know, the experience overseas can only be good for him.
Definitely
playing 2 minutes, maybe that's a motivating thing. I mean, 7 rebounds in what, 9 minutes, you said?
Yeah,
this game it sounds
six
like
six rebounds. Well, 7 points and grabbed 6 rebounds for picking up 4 fouls in 9 minutes of play.
So yeah, it sounds like, you know, classic, you know, early pain where he comes in, he is unstoppable, but at the same time
he starts bringing the pain when he doesn't need to bring the pain.
Can't get out of his own way.
Right, exactly. So we'll see, though. I'm sure AP will be just fine, though. But like I said, this experience got to be great for him, playing in overseas and getting that experience with playing with other talent. You're getting coached by, you know, your enemy, I guess you would say.
The dark side,
yeah. And John Beilein. So,
for sure.
Interesting stuff, man. Maybe they can pick up some stuff on each other. All right, the Detroit Tigers. Over the July 4th weekend, the Tigers wrapped up a 3-1 series win over the Toronto Blue Jays and then moved on to a series against the Cleveland Indians, which finishes tonight. Now, right now, the Tigers lead the series 2-1. That's after a 9-6 loss last night to the Indians. And here was Jim Leland after that loss yesterday.
It was a terrific effort, and, you know, base on ball was the killer today, the two in the first inning and the one in the last inning, you know. And then Kluber's stuff I thought was really good, and because his stuff was so good, we actually swung at a lot of bad balls, but I think a lot of that, to his credit, was because his stuff was pretty electric today. He had a lot of life, and, you know, I thought we battled him good. We got his pitch count up pretty good. You know, like I say, we got 2 quick outs in the first. We walked a couple guys. We paid a dear price for that. And then, of course, the last thing, I mean, that basically the game.
Yeah, that was Jim Leland. Jim, he was like snacking on a Jolly Rancher or
some
something.
Kind of hard candy. I don't know what it was.
It might have been bubble gum. I don't know what that was. That was so annoying.
He seemed more interested in his post-game meal.
Yeah,
than his
he was
post-game
like, yeah.
Interview.
Yeah, and there was a lot of pauses there. Just to, what was that, Jolly Rancher? I don't know what it was.
We got to find
but
out his
on,
candy
man.
Of choice.
Yeah, we do. But, all right, anyway, with that win, the Indians, they snapped a 4-game losing streak and a 7-game losing streak against the Tigers. Max Scherzer. He went 13-0 last week Wednesday against the Blue Jays and will look to continue the magic and push his incredible streak to 14-0 against Cleveland tonight. I will be tuned in. I cannot wait to watch this. He will try to become the second pitcher to open 14-0 in the last 27 years. Oh,
where would we be without Max Scherzer?
I don't know. I have no idea. And we're struggling right now. And I think the AL Central, if you talk about the AL Central, which is a division that doesn't have a lot of talent in comparison to the Tigers, and we're really struggling right now with Cleveland right on our heels. We lose last night to them. Max Scherzer has been terrific, though. So now the AL record, if you look at this streak Scherzer is on, the AL record is 15-0, set by Cleveland's Johnny Allen back in 1937. And equaled by Baltimore's Dave McNally in 1969. So he'll try to go for 14-0. Do you think he's going to do it? I think he's on a roll.
I kind of feel like he's going to do it.
He's on a roll, man. And when you look at this incredible streak with Scherzer, you got to give him a lot of credit, definitely. I mean, it's 14-0. He also has a major league best 7.87 run support average.
Right.
The best in the game. So when Scherzer's on the mound and... we had Clyde Weir, scout for the Tigers, talk about this the other day, that guys like playing behind a pitcher that's consistent.
Right.
And Scherzer has certainly been consistent, and the run support has been through the roof. So, man, this is going to be interesting to see. So he pitches tonight, and over the weekend, the six Tigers were also named to the All-Star squad. Pitcher Max Scherzer, of course, pitcher Justin Verlander, outfielder Torii Hunter, shortstop Johnny Peralta, first baseman Prince Fielder, and, of course, third baseman Miguel Cabrera. So, interesting stuff. So, again, Scherzer goes for that 14-0 tonight at 7. All right, Wimbledon. I got to give props.
Yeah.
We both have to give props, probably, to production assistant Alex Shark. And, of course, we have our pick on Mondays, which will be coming up in just a sec. But the loser of every month has to sing a song chosen by the winner. So, Matt, you won last month.
I did.
So we were just waiting on what would happen in Wimbledon, because if Andy Murray won, Alex chose Andy Murray to win Wimbledon. If he won, which he did, he would tie Mike, our intern here at Current Sports, and they would have to do, and I was rooting for Andy just for this.
Right.
They would have to do a duet on the show, and they have to sing a duet, and tomorrow, Alex Shark and Mike Corey will be live in the studio singing their hearts out for you guys, because they both are tied in that last place. Thank goodness I came in the middle. They were tied for last place in the month of June, and they will sing. So I just heard. I don't know if you want to give the song away. You probably don't want to.
We might.
The song
away. Let's keep that under wraps.
We'll keep the song under
great.
Wraps.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, Matt has chosen the song. He played it before I got on air. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not want to. This is going to be hilarious. I might film it and put it on the website.
It's
for those
appointment
who can't
radio.
See it.
It's absolutely appointment radio.
It is. You got to be here to see it. But anyway, Andy Murray, like I said, he pulled off something that many thought might never happen. He became the first British-born player to win at Wimbledon since 1936. He, of course, stayed alive. We were reporting this Wednesday during the show, because he had an incredible match against Fernando Verdasco, in which Andy was down the first two sets and came all the way back to win and stay alive. And he went on to defeat Novak Djokovic, of course, in the final 6-4, 7-5, 6-4, three straight sets to win his second Grand Slam title in less than a year in his first ever Wimbledon. So Murray, he was down both in the second and third sets, fought back. He fought that entire tournament. You got to give a lot of hats off to Andy Murray, who was great. He also seemed to let Djokovic make the mistakes. Now, Novak carded 40. That's right, 40 unforced errors to Murray's 21, missing a lot of shots that are normally routine for a guy like Djokovic. So congrats to Andy Murray, man. I tell you, that was something to see. And on the women's side, we got to note that Marion Bartoli, she beat Sabine Leszczynski 6-1, 6-4 on Saturday to capture her first Grand Slam title in her 47th appearance at a major. Leszczynski, she actually, of course, as we reported this as well, knocked out Serena Williams, the top woman in the entire Wimbledon tournament. She knocked her out in the fourth round. And now, despite the loss, though, Sabine Leszczynski, she'll make about $1.2 million. Not bad for a player with a career earnings of $2.8 million. So that's great for her. And Bartoli gets $2.4 million winner's share and caps off a lifelong quest of winning at Wimbledon. Surprising stuff. Names that we didn't even think. Well, of course, on the men's side, Djokovic and Murray, I mean, those are 1 and 2. So that was as predictable as you can get. But But on the women's side, I mean, you got individuals like Victoria Azarenka, Serena Williams going out, Sharapova. I mean, you can go on, and, you know, Marion Bartoli comes out with the crown.
Hey, you never know with tennis.
You never know.
When you have all those big names falling in the first week,
right.
I mean, anything can happen. And you know, Djokovic and Murray were there, but, I mean, everybody thought that Nadal and Federer would at least advance, you know, farther than they did. But, I mean, they were two of the first guys out, you know, as far as the big names. So
yes, they
you
were.
Never know, especially at Wimbledon.
Right. Very, very true. Well, I'll tell you what, we got two more stories to cover for you guys. When we come back, we're going to take a break really quick. Remind you guys, we'll take your calls right now, 517-355-9527. Hit me up on Facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me a question, Al Martin, WKAR. I want to hear what's on your mind. Stick around. More Current Sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, Liev Schreiber. He stars as a Hollywood fixer and tough guy in the new Showtime series, Ray Donovan. He's played more than his share of bad guys, he thinks, because of his face.
Arched eyebrows and Slavic fat pads, unfortunately, I think make me look a lot more menacing than I really am.
You mean like slightly puffy cheeks?
Yes, puffy cheeks.
Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We'll be taking your calls right now to discuss anything that's on your mind. Again, 517-355-9527. Give us a buzz. We want to hear what's on your mind as always. Before we get into Picking Mondays, because it is Monday, we begin our picks. We have a few stories to just to get out there. Of course, a lot happened over this long holiday weekend. But today, though, the Hockey Hall of Fame class of 2013, they came out that you have two Red Wings actually in the running that could possibly induct it to the Hall of Fame, which will be announced tomorrow. And two former Detroit Red Wings are among the top candidates. Defenseman Chris Chelios and forward Brendan Shanahan both helped the Red Wings win multiple Stanley Cups. They are headliners in this year's ballot. Chelios, in his first year of eligibility, while Shanahan is in his second year after surprisingly being passed over for induction a year ago. So a maximum of four players can get elected each year. Shanahan fell short a year ago when former Red Wings center, Adam Oates was elected along with Pavel Bure and a few others. So Chelios played for the Red Wings, Montreal Canadiens, Chicago Blackhawks, Atlanta Thrashers during his 26-year career. That's a long, long time. He ended up retiring at the age of 48 in 2010. His 1,651 career games ranked number five all-time behind Gordie Howe, the great Gordie Howe, I should say. He's the only player in NHL history to play at least 400 games with three teams. Wow.
That's a long time. He might just get into the hall based on longevity alone.
Right,
like,
exactly.
That is incredible. I mean,
very, very, very true. So a three-time Norris Trophy winner as NHL's best defenseman, Chris Chelios finished his career with 185 goals, 763 assists. His 266 career playoff games are number one on the all-time list, three more than teammate Nicholas Lidstrom. So, interesting stuff. I really hope, I mean, those guys are shoe-ins, if you ask me. If they don't, if I don't see how Shanahan's going to fall this year again.
Yeah, I can't believe he, I mean, last year was...
Right.
I felt like he was a lock.
Exactly.
And this year, I think they're both...
I think they're both locks, yeah. Man. So you could have two Red Wings in the Hall of Fame. Again, that'll be announced tomorrow. And this is a very, 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 very disturbing story, just to warn you all out there listening. I read about this, I believe it was Saturday, but police say enraged spectators... invaded a football field, or soccer field, I should say. They actually stoned a referee to death, then cut off his hands and feet after the referee stabbed a player to death. Now, the Public Safety Department of the state of Maranhão says in a statement, now this is out in Brazil, in a statement that it all started when referee Otavio da Silva expelled player Yosiner Abreu from a game last weekend. Now, the two got into a fist fight, and then Silva took out a knife and stabbed Abreu, who died on his way to the hospital. Now, the statement issued this week says Abreu's friends and relatives immediately rushed into the field, stoned the referee to death, quartered his body, and local news media say the spectators also decapitated Silva and stuck his head on a stake in the middle of the field.
That,
whoa.
That is Game of Thrones. Like, that sounds...
Yes.
That is television. That is fantasy land. That is
I couldn't believe when I
insane.
Read this. When I read this story, I thought I was on, like...
The Onion
media
or something?
Takeout.
Yeah,
yeah, The like, Onion or something. Yeah,
yeah.
I had to check my browser, and it said ESPN.com, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
They definitely... I know in other countries, they definitely take... soccer very, very serious. I'm wondering, though, why in the heck did the ref have a knife on the field with them?
Right.
That's great. We were talking about this before the show started. I mean, now, we talked about, you know, the whole referee, because we actually did an entire week on referee abuse, and I think they definitely should have something, some form of protection out there, because right now it's crazy as far as referee abuse is concerned during games, but not a knife.
Right.
That's like
not something that
mace
is
or something. Okay.
Yeah, not something that's potentially deadly.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it just seems excessive. The entire story, if I were to describe it in one word, is excessive.
Excessive. It's excessive. It's mind-blowing. It's unbelievable. It's all of that wrapped into one. And, wow, that's all I can say with that one. So, all right. It's Monday. It's Monday. So you know what that means. That means it is Pick'em Mondays. I got to get off. And this is our first pick of this month. So,
well, no, it's our second. Right?
It's our second.
Because last week it was, you know, the revenge of Alex. He you know, came
True.
Back to life here. He picked just about everything. It was kind of sad. I'm a little scared for
the end of the month. At the end of the month, so those picks go towards this month.
Last week's picks. Oh, yes.
Okay. Can we get a rundown of those? Because I'm kind of hazy on that.
All right. Well, the college home run derby
went
to Michael Aquino, who, of course, was Alex's pick.
Are you serious?
I think we're only going to give him like a quarter of a point or like half a point or something for that.
Something very small.
Yeah, definitely.
That wasn't a big pick. I could have chose that if I wanted to.
Not at all.
No.
Dwight Howard goes to the Rockets.
Yes.
Alex and I both picked that one.
You guys picked that. Yeah.
Andre Iguodala,
mm-hmm.
I had him coming to the Pistons. Alex, I know, had him going to the Nuggets.
Yep.
I'm not 100% sure where you had him going.
Didn't I have Andre going to, I think I said Portland.
I believe you did, yeah. Portland.
Yeah.
Didn't go anywhere.
No.
Any of those. He is now a Golden State Warrior.
Yes, he is.
In an intriguing move.
That puzzled me. And you know what? It's funny. When that story broke, what happened was the Sacramento Kings actually offered him a deal, a very handsome deal, to tell you the truth. But he took too long to make a decision for the Kings' liking, and they snatched the deal. And Andre got pretty ticked off about it and went to Twitter.
Well, yeah, I think they both got ticked off.
Yeah.
The Kings were like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But why are the Kings surprised that no one wants to sign there?
Exactly. It's like the Kings are not on the top of the NBA world or nowhere close to it, to tell you the truth. And it's
right.
not an appealing city. I don't know.
He stays in California at least. He'll get to play the Kings a couple times a year, so I'm sure they can.
That'll be interesting.
Nothing like a franchise scorn, though.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Right.
Pull that offer. Pull that $58 million offer.
$58 million,
Ooh.
Yeah. Goodness.
All right, keep going. All right. Josh Smith,
yep.
You guys both had him pegged to the Pistons. I did not. So you guys did both not. Get, you guys both get points. I am going to the Celtics, although now they're talking that the Celtics might be, you know, interested, well, at least the Pistons are interested in Rondo.
Yeah, they interviewed him.
Right.
They had an interview with him, but I don't know if he
would you be down for that? Let's say let's say Greg Monroe and Brandon Knight with you know, maybe Rodney Stuckey's expiring contract.
I would absolutely sign me up
right now.
I would get rid of one of the big two, definitely. Not even the big, I'm pegging the big two already, but I would definitely get rid of, like you said, if it's a Monroe and a guard or Brandon Knight type of player or Stuckey to get Rondo. Rondo is one of the top 5 point guards in the NBA.
Absolutely.
And the Pistons definitely need that. I mean, and that's, you mean, look at that whole pick when they did not pick up Trey Burke. There was a lot of flack about the Pistons not doing that because they desperately do need a point guard. Even, but I mean, they needed a shooter as well. So you can see the pros and cons of that whole entire NBA draft pick for the Pistons. But they need a point guard, and I would be I would give up myself for Rondo. Rondo, please come to the Pistons.
Seriously,
please.
Like any kind of move we can make to get another star.
Yes,
and you know, if you have two stars, it's a heck of a lot easier to get a third. Detroit becomes much more
appealing
place
to come to.
Exactly.
So
let's keep our fingers crossed on that.
Now, I know they did interview Rondo, but I mean, that was like early last week when the Pistons interviewed him. I think those talks kind of dwindled
down.
I don't know. I haven't seen any reports that they've arisen again, but I think those talks kind of fell away. And you know, Boston now, they have Bradley from Butler coaching them now.
Oh, and good old Brad Stevens.
Stevens is coming from Butler, one of the unbelievable young coach, and he's now coaching the Celtics. So I think that made Boston maybe a little more appealing for Rondo. But again, even though they do have Stevens, it's like
they look like they're in rebuilding mode.
Oh, they are, definitely.
And you know, if you offer Greg Monroe, that's a nice young building block.
Right.
And, you know, if you get Rondo here, you know, that's that. Talk about putting butts in the seats. You have Rondo and Josh Smith.
Oh yeah.
In addition to a Drummond, you know, that's a nice little three way. You know,
very
that's,
nice.
That's a good base for
yes,
a team.
It is.
It's certainly better than they've been the last 5 years.
Right. I would like to see it if it happens. I really hope those talks. I hope I read something about those talks really coming back to life.
For sure.
So,
me
we'll
too.
See what happens.
All right, and then the last one, Andrew Bynum, who of course has not signed. We both
He's
had
not.
Him going to the Mavericks.
Right.
Alex, I believe, had him going to the Cleveland Cavaliers, which, of course, today news broke that the Cavaliers are now in the hunt
in
for
the
Andrew
hunt.
Bynum. So,
Alex is
great.
Rolling.
Alex is,
I don't know. Wait, he must have had a dream about all of this one. He just went with his intuition. But, all right, so what do we got? So right now, what's the score looking like right now?
Oh, it's you know, tied at just about nothing.
I mean, nothing.
Depending on how many points we want to award Alex for the home run derby.
True.
It's looking like, you know, Alex and you are at, I believe, 2 here. You're at 1. Alex is at 2. Alex is at 3, rather, and I am at 1 as well. So he's got a 3-1 lead.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's do it. What we got this week, man?
Oh, man. We're kind of in the dog days of summer here.
Exactly. I was just saying that it's like just baseball. Baseball. You got a little bit of golf.
We're gonna mix in some golf because we have to.
We have to a little bit of. I want to report this too, that Anderson Silva, he suffered his first loss as middleweight champ in 11 bouts to Chris Weidman. This is USC, of course. He lost. He got knocked out over the weekend. We forgot all about that guy.
We did, and
we forgot about the hot dog eating contest. We could have picked the hot dog.
Don't even remind me.
Oh, and yeah, you were really, really upset.
I'm
came
upset.
In here punching walls. Came in the studio punching walls.
There is
and
a hole
stuff.
In the wall in the other room because I was so angry about not being able to prop up my boy Joey Chestnut.
Right.
And his 69 hot dogs in 12 minutes or whatever it is.
That's unbelievable. 69 hot dogs. In 12 minutes?
It's either 10 or 12.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how that guy
But
lives.
There's no better program that, you know, it comes on and it's an hour long and there's only, you know, you only want to watch the hot dog eating contest, but, you know, they always tell you the history of Coney Island and the history of the hot dog eating contest. And it's like, just eat some hot dogs.
Right, just eat
In
them.
The most
yeah.
disgusting way possible.
It takes
just
only
do
10
it.
Minutes, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I'm really upset that we didn't pick that because it's a big event as far as sports go, if you want to call it a sport. And they broadcast it on ESPN, and we forgot about it. But next July 4th, we'll get to it. All right.
Yeah, maybe Alex and Mike can have a hot dog eating contest.
Oh, that would be classic. Posted on the Facebook page. That'd be...
I would watch that.
I would definitely watch that.
All right, but this week, it's a really, really small slate. We might add some things because we'll get Alex in here. We'll talk it out. We'll discuss what to pick. But I'm not going to go with the college home run derby again.
No.
That's not happening again.
No, not again. We know this is just like we won't pick NASCAR again.
I was actually going to push for us to start picking NASCAR again.
Sure, you were.
Yeah,
sure
I wonder why. Were. But no, we're gonna start out. We got some Tiger series this week. Chicago White Sox, 3 games. Who you got?
Tigers 2-1.
All right. I think I'm going to take...
I was going to say sweep.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to mull over here.
But the Tigers...
You know, you never know.
You never know with them.
It seems like every series is 2-1 or, you know, 1-2 or 3-1. I'm going to go 2-1 Tigers as well.
Gotcha.
Let's be consistent there.
Again, we'll get Alex and Mike's picks later on. And Mike is going to be returning pretty soon. He has a very interesting article in the State News, ladies and gents, discussing his absence. Check it out if you can. Pick it up. State News, Mike Corey. And read that article. It's very thought-provoking.
He's got a nice lesson.
A very nice lesson,
basically,
I would say.
Just be careful, guys.
Be careful out there.
Be careful out there.
You never know.
You really don't.
That's the motto I live by. You got to be careful,
man. As soon as you think you know it all, then you fall.
And read the article.
Pretty bad.
It's great. All right.
Next one, Texas Rangers. It's the last series before the All-Star break. So maybe guys are just kind of mailing it in that series.
Yeah, true.
We'll see if they can keep their focus.
How many games is that?
3 games. Who you got?
2-1 Tigers.
2-1 Tigers.
2-1 again.
All right. Well, you know, seeing as how Alex has the lead, I'm really just fighting you at this point. Mm-hmm. Although Mike is in the hold because Mike forgot to pick last week. We're probably going to hold it against him because I do not want to get last.
No one wants to.
Especially
if you
the song that I picked.
Tomorrow,
if I'm going to have to, you know, reap what I sow there, I'm not looking to sing anything outrageous. So I'm going to pick 2-1 Tigers too because I just want to stay tied with you regardless.
You're playing the game, baby.
I am playing the game.
The Game of Thrones.
It's called strategy, guys.
Yeah.
Strategy. It's all we have. And then let's do one more. Let's do the John Deere Classic.
The John Deere Classic. I have done no research on that. Look, you just
neither
out
have
stuff.
I. But
okay,
it's not a 1-in-6 chance like the home run derby. So probably no one is going to get it right. Let's do the John Deere Classic.
Okay.
The field is pretty rough. You know, you see names like Jesper Parnevik there.
Man, can we make that pick tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's
tomorrow.
Do it.
David Duvall. I might take. Maybe we'll pick whoever was good in you know the year 1998.
Yeah.
Whoever finishes those guys.
Right.
There you go.
And then you pick. There you go. All right, great fun show. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Shogg and Matt Lucky, production assistants, intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to MLive sports reporter Diamond Leung for joining us. Same time, same place tomorrow. It's great to get back to business here on the show. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, be easy, people.